Thank you, Mr. Noriel. And I'd like to, just before I greet you, to talk to the controller. Our microphone here needs a little more volume. Check on the room on the wires and the antennas, and hopefully we get you there. And if it's some silence on the air today, we are still on the air, but the music will be there. We lack one of the workers on the back. We're trying to make the best we can with our equipment, but our equipment is, I guess, too sophisticated and is not responding at this time. So we hope then that will be okay. All right. Again, this volume need more volume to get into the tape sound and almost to the top. Okay, good. All right, here is the scripture for you. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord of my soul. While I will live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. What a precious psalm, Psalm 146, verse 1 and 2. And we welcome you here in Bethel Baptist Church. We welcome those who are listening over the airways of KKMC. And of course, we welcome those who later on will get this tape and listen to the whole morning worship service in their home. I want to tell you, this week, Pastor, I start the Bible conference already at Mission Spring and escape from the conference to come to preach to you here. And we'll be back in the conference this evening. I switch with Pastor Kuchen, Richard Kuchen. He's preaching for me in the morning, and then I will be preaching in the evening. And then from Monday through Wednesday, I will be teaching twice at 7:30 and then at 9:30. And Pastor Kuchen in the evening, Pastor will be back in the grounds on Friday. And so I'm so glad that Brother Andy is here. And you, Andy, you maybe can help our Brother Jovi over there and find some details. I'm sorry for this interference, but we have a lot of adjustments to make, and I know you understand. We are not professional. We're just a church, tiny little tingling church in the area, trying to broadcast the gospel of our Lord. I want to say that it is a very refreshing conference. It's a very peaceful conference, a very wonderful conference, and people even from New Jersey are there in the conference enjoying the cool mountains of Santa Cruz. Because everybody expected 100 degrees, and the people from the East Coast came thinking that everything is going to be so hot, and they are freezing in the morning, all right? It's just unbelievable. Let's look to the Lord in prayer as we begin our morning worship service. Father, we come into your presence in the name of Jesus, our Lord. And we are grateful that in his great power and in his great mercy and glory, he chose us to be his children in his kingdom. We are debtor to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We are debtor to the Holy Spirit with his power. We are debtor to the Father who, before the foundation of the world, has chosen us and elect us to be the children of the living God. Father, thank you. But also, Father, we are aware that we are not the only ones. You have people for your name through the centuries. And we pray today that as we praise your name, as we read the scripture, and as we preach the word of the living God, Father, we pray that many others will come into the kingdom because of your grace and your mercy. Bless us as we worship together. Bless us as we fellowship together around thy word and around our Lord. We remember, Lord, that we have missionaries in our church, and each one of them is doing a function in a particular place around the world. The notes have written to us, and we put their paper in the bulletin, Lord, so that people in our church may know what is going on in Spain. And we pray for Ruth and for Carol Knott, that you may bless them, touch them, encourage them, gave them the power to become the great man that you have selected to teach elders in the cities over there in Huasca and in the cities around Huasca in Spain. Bless his beloved family and give them strength. Father, thank you for our nation and for our great a nation that you have raised among other nations with the freedom that we have to enjoy and to teach thy word. Thank you for the development of science, that we can use science for the gospel. Thank you, Father, for those men who discovered the internet. Thank you for those men who are providing for us more tools so that we can use it for the furtherance of the gospel. Father, bless our president. Touch his life. Make him aware of your presence, of your authority about him. And then bless his wife and protect his daughter and everything they do and say. And for us, Father, we pray that the sweetness of Jesus and the kindness of his love may touch our heart, that we may fellowship you in a spirit and in truth. Because we pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. We encourage you to take the hymn book, please, and will you stand as we open in number 42. Number 42 in our hymn book, please. Will you stand as we fellowship together? Father, once again, we are grateful this morning that you provide for us last week. And so we pray, Lord, that you may bless the offering and bless the giving as we are ready to share with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the goodness that you provide for us. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.
In Bethel Baptist Church. And at the meantime, that the church has the offertory and the offering, I'd like to share with you the opportunity to offer again our service from our church. We do have a wonderful opportunity to teach the Word of God through the entire Sunday. At 9:30, we have our Sunday school hour, Bible hour, for the at 11 o'clock, morning worship service, which you are a part of. And homes and institutions and across the country, there are people listening to the gospel. Thank you.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spreads up the God.
you now that you take your Bible. Take your Bibles and turn to the books of Acts chapter 14. If you don't, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find the reading in that Bible on page. It came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and gave signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. And they were aware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith, he healed. He said a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet," and he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which is before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you, and you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings scarce restrained they the people, that they would have not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word to Perga, they went down to Attaleia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty Father, blessed is thy holy name. Glory unto thee, Almighty God. We praise and worship thee, O Lord God, because thy mercy upon our souls through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As thy word reveals to us today, O Lord God, faith. The faith of Paul and Barnabas, the faith of the healing man who could not walk, the faith that you have given us, O Lord God, to believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord God, that you will use your servant, our pastor Gabriel Otero, as he proclaims the gospel unto the people. If there be any here who do not know you, Almighty God, that you will give them the faith to believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
spoke the word, and all the worlds came into order. You waved your hands, and planets filled the empty skies. You placed a woman and a man inside the garden, and though they fell, they found compassion in your eyes. Oh Lord, I stand amazed at the wonder of your deeds, and in a greater wonder brings me to
Terry, and I would like to know if I could take this microphone away. No? All right. We keep it on. All right. We preach with this one. Let's look to the Lord in prayer before our meditation this morning. Heavenly Father, be pleased to let us preach, not for fame, not for reputation, but to the end that somebody will believe, and in believing will be saved. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Before I start my exposition, I want to apologize for some confusion that has been made in the schedules and so on. I have I promised some of the young people from the Guerreros to start the service, and there was another schedule conflicting. I apologize to the family, and they will be soon here on the starting the service. I want the young people to start the service with their gift and their qualities, and I know that they are very talented, and I want many, many of our young people to be in service. And you talk to Mrs. Otero, talk to Terry Toste, and they will schedule you in, and we the adults will sit a little bit back and watch them and be proud of them. So my apologies to the family. Now we go to Acts chapter 14, please. Acts chapter 14. And that was the reading this morning. And in Acts chapter 14, we find a group of people that encounter the Apostle Paul. Perhaps, apart from Acts chapter 2, this is the greatest encounter of this Jewish man, the Apostle Paul, with Gentiles. The Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2 have encountered a great multitude of Gentiles. But after that, for 10 chapters on the book of Acts, the gospel went into the synagogues, one synagogue after the other. But now here is the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to give you the background as we read it, verses 1 to 5. You get the background of the ethnic composition of the people that Paul is speaking to. The Bible says in Acts chapter 14 and verse 1, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jew and spoke, that a great multitude, both of the Jew and also the Greeks," the King James, that means the Gentiles, believe. But the unbelieving Jew stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, afflicted against the brethren. And then in verse 6, the Bible says that they were aware of it, and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lyconia, and unto the regions that lie around about. Now, what do you do when you are confronted with a mixed population of ethnic background? What do you do? Verse 7 tells you what you do. Look at verse 7. "And there they preached the gospel." Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is the solution for our life, regardless our ethnic background. Whether you are a Jewish in your blood or you are a Gentile, this is what the scripture says. The Apostle Paul went to them and did not talk about their heritage, did not talk about their political enterprise, did not talk about their nationality or their labor problems. They went and he shared the gospel. The Apostle Paul did not talk about their doctrinal statement from the Church of Jerusalem, neither the doctrines of the Church of Antioch. He went and preached the gospel. And that's what we are in business to. Now, each time you preach the gospel, you have reactions from people. And there are three reactions here to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that I would like to point out to you so that you see what is your reaction to the gospel. Each time I preach the gospel, each time that a man of God opened the scripture and preached the gospel, there will be a reaction from the people listening. If the gospel is preached right, there will be a reaction. There will be an acceptance, there will be a rejection, and there will be confusion. And let me show it to you. There are three reactions of the gospel to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, from the cripple's point of view. Verses 8 all the way to verse 10 tells you the story that, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet," he cannot move his feet, "being a cripple from birth, who never had walked." Now, what you and I are going to read to follow is a real miracle. Who never had walked. And so the first thing I see from the cripple's point of view is this, that he was physically handicapped. It's not that he played football, soccer, and he get injured. No, ladies and gentlemen, he was born in that way. Is that right? That's what the scripture says. He was physically handicapped. a picture of our spiritual handicap. If you read in Romans, in chapter 5, and in verse 12, that's the way that all of us are born. Romans 5 and verse 12. The Bible says in Romans 5 verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin enter into the world, and death by sin, and so death passeth upon all men, for all have sinned. All our babies are born spiritually handicapped. Exactly like this man in verse 8 in Acts chapter 14. He was born with his feet. They were paralyzed. He never walked in his life. And that's the way that every one of us were born. We were born spiritually handicapped. Going back to Acts chapter 14, not only this man was spiritually handicapped, he was graciously touched. Look at them, verse 9. The same heard Paul speak, who was steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. It's not a unique text. Here's the apostle Paul looked to this man, and in his heart he had received an insight, this man will believe. Now, that's unique to the Apostle Paul. I can talk to people, and I don't know what is in your heart. I can talk to people, and after a while of the conversation, I can perceive if you are receptive to my talking or not. Yes, indeed. But this one, the Bible said here, that the Apostle looked to him, and immediately he knew this man is going to believe. Now, that's unique to the Apostles. That was a gift given to the Apostles. And what I think it is that this man was graciously touched. See, he was born handicapped. And how this man is going to believe? God, in his great and mercy, has touched his heart and mind to perceive what the apostle is going to do. That's the way people get saved. That's the people coming to the kingdom of God. God comes down prior to the preacher, prior to the witnessing, prior to read a tract. God comes down and touch your mind, and then you become attracted to read, or attracted to listen, or attracted to receive the information that somebody shared with you. He was graciously touched by God. And then, of course, here's what followed. Verse 10, he was spiritually convicted. Paul said to this man in loud voice, so everybody can hear, stand upright on thy feet. Now here is a man who never walked. Here is a man who doesn't know what is it to stand up on your feet. He never did in his life. He never stood up in his feet. Never. And Paul said, you stand up in your feet. And what the Bible says, verse 10, and he leaped and walked. Wow, what a joy. What a joy. See, he was convicted. How did he was convicted? Well, he hear the word. You see that? He says, stand up. That was the word. He stand up and walk. He hear the word. He believed the word. He got to believe. He got to believe what the man says. Nobody pushed him. The Bible doesn't say that somebody raised him up. He hear the word, and he did what the word said. Stand up and walk. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what happened to us spiritually. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says that. Romans 10, 17 says that faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. That's how faith is produced. Faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. The first thing that happened to this man is that he here was touched by God. Don't take that for granted. He was touched by God first, and then when God touched it, he hear the word. And what the word produced? Faith. When a man is touched by God, when a man or a woman is touched by God and inclined to listen, we better offer to these people the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God carried the power to cause the person to believe. He received the Word and he was transformed. He no longer was a man who was sitting in a corner in the street, helpless. He walks in the scripture. And when we have received the word of the living God, we no longer dwell in the sinful life of our past. Now we walk in the newness of life. We have the new clothing of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the power of God in our life in such a way that our life makes a difference because our faith is transformed in action. That's exactly what happened. The problem with today's Christianity is that people have knowledge without transformation. And knowledge without transformation is barbarism. Causes terrible problems. Causes error so fundamental. When a person cannot leave the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because that person doesn't have in their heart the power of the Spirit to leave. No one in this earth can leave the gospel and live like a Christian. No one except those who God touched, received the word, believe it, and walk into the kingdom of God. Isn't that fascinating? Here is the faith at work. Have God touched your life? Have you heard the word? Have you received the word? Are you transformed that no longer you are sitting in a corner, depressed and upset? But you are walking with the Lord. See, the graciousness of God is, that, don't ask me why, that he came down and touched this fellow. The graciousness of God is, don't ask me why, he touched my life when I was 18. That was God's graciousness. He touched your life at a given point in your life. And he never left you in the same place he found you. Because he has given you the word, and as you read the scripture, that word produces faith to believe those amazing things that the Bible describes. From the crippled point of view, we can see that faith can be transformed in action. Now I want to show you from the people's point of view the wrong kind of faith. Humanity. I want to show you humanity, what humanity does. And sometimes there are churches like this. And sometimes there are people that follow exactly with the next paragraph. Pay attention to this. From the people's point of view, verse 11, they believe what they saw. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, the gods, look at the G in small g, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. They put their eyes not in the source of the miracle, they put their eyes on the men. That were men? Men. They put their eyes on men. Look at how great those men are. That's what they said. Follow these men. You see that? You see, let me show you what's going to happen. They only saw. And there's nothing wrong with receiving the help of God. There's nothing wrong. But when the only thing you show people is just a show of things, and the people believe in miracles and wonders rather than believing in the one who produces the miracle and wonders, is a danger in that. Those people who promote, I have talked to a pastor who said, at my church on Wednesday night, we have miracles and wonders. And what that mean, pastor? He said, that means that those who are ill come in and get healed and so on, and they believe. Now here we have a case. They saw what Paul did. And they do not believe. They believe what happened, and they say, oh, Paul is the greatest. They don't believe the one behind the miracle, God. They believe the man. They say, look at what great is this man. Listen to what followed. Verse 12. These people believe in men. And they call Barnabas Jupiter. Remember, they are Greeks. And to them, the stars are the gods of heaven. And Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Barnabas was a kind of counselor. The soft-spoken man who healed Mark. Paul was the one who cut the road. And these people, they believe in men. See, not as instrument, but as the source of the blessing. They said, these are the greatest. These men, their faith was not focused on God and in God's word and in the power of God. Their faith was focused on these men. What a great men we got. Wonderful. I tell you, these men are God. Whatever they said is God saying. It's danger in that. It is danger in that. And we do that without thinking sometimes. We like a certain speaker, and we make that speaker the source of truth, rather than the beautiful book that we have in our hands, the Bible. They don't believe in God. Look at verse 13. Then the priests of Jupiter, whose temple was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. You know what they want to do? They want to worship these men. They want to worship these speakers. They said, we got God in our midst. These are the people who really will change the world. These are the people. Not the message of these men. There is a difference. The message of these men were powerful. The message of Paul and Barnabas transformed the life of these people before, after God touched the man, when they spoke the word of God, they came alive. It was the message, was God and His Spirit working. They don't saw anything of that. They saw the man, and they saw good looking Latin guys. Wow, they are, have to be, they have to be, they have to be God. That's how introduced to me in the conference the first day. They, you know, everybody dressed sloppy in the conference ground, but I dressed with tie and suit. That's how we do it in the East Coast. And so the pastor of the East Coast do it that way. And so when I want to speak, say, look at these Latin here speaking like that. I don't know what they do that, but it's a decency in the pulpit. I fear the pulpit. I fear the pulpit. I cannot come sloppy dressed to the pulpit. I fear the pulpit. This is God's place. This is God's respect. Well, not when I'm sitting in the conference, I'm sitting in sport clothing. But when I come to the pulpit, I fear this is God's place. When I come to the house of God, this is the house of God. And I fear that. And I respect that. I'm glad that Pastor Downing had made a good sermon on that. When you come to the house of God, you respect God. And now here's these people. These people listened, they saw what happened, and they believed what they saw rather than believing the facts beyond the seeing. So this kind of faith, believe in men. Do you remember what Mark 11:22 says? Look on it. Mark 11, verse 22. When Peter saw that Jesus spoke to a tree, and the tree dried up, Peter was shocked. Now, the year before, Jesus came around that place and said, if these three do not have fruit next year, these three will be dry up. And now Jesus come down and see no fruit in that fig tree, and he said, be dry and dry out. And wow, Peter said, I can't believe it. And what Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 22, have faith in the miracle? No. Have faith in God. Now, that's what's wrong with these people. These people of Lyconia, these people of Lystra, they love miracles. And there are people today who go to church seeking for miracles so they can believe in miracles. There are people who go to church seeking for a man in the pulpit rather from the word of God in the pulpit. There are people who follow men rather than following God. And that's wrong. Your faith is not in God. It's in the object of your faith. It's not in the source of power, God. It's just in the man who communicated. That's wrong. That's wrong. These people are unsaved. They have no faith. And there are many thousands of them, especially in America, who is like Greece. They like to chat, 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 and talk. And they have destroyed the power or the authority of the local church with that. from the people's point of view, when you follow a miracle, when you follow a man, check the source of your faith. It's questioning. Now, what do you think these apostles? It's not so nice when you are speaking on the pulpit and people hug you and say, oh, you are like God, Pastor. How wonderful. I'd be scared to death if somebody say that to me. But you know, you're speaking at a conference, 2,000 people, and everybody hug you and say, you are the greatest. And they very soon you speak on radio and you receive 500-700 letters a week saying, you're the greatest, and you're this and the other. And if you're not cautious, your head becomes so big and your heart becomes so proud that you can block the image of God in doing that. And we pastors have to be very careful. Teachers of the Bible have to be very careful in this. So here is the example for us. The apostles' point of view. Look at the faith. Verse 10, their faith showed no doubts in the word of God. Verse 10 said, and they said in the loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. They communicate the message. Now, I want you to tell you this. No longer in the New Testament, any preacher can stand and say to somebody who is sick, you are no more healed. No longer in the New Testament this is. This was a gift given to the apostles. If you remember in Mark 10, the Lord told the apostles, whatever you do, there are going to be signs and wonders that follow you. So they will accelerate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not the common practice of the church. We are not in a hospital business here. Yeah, there is two hospitals in this town if you are sick. We're not in business to heal your body. We're in business to bring healing to your soul. That's what our business is. But this is exactly what happened. God commanded them to do that, and without any doubt, they knew their job, that they need to produce that miracle, and they said, I command you to stand. Remember the man in Acts 3 who had no money and so on, and Peter was there and he said, silver and gold have I not, but in the name of Jesus stand up. In other words, they were endowed with a special ministry, and they did exactly what the word of God said. Their faith showed faithfulness to the word of God, and may God find me faithful to the scripture. May you Sunday school teachers be found faithful to the scripture. Secondly, verse 14. Their faith showed purity. Look at verse 14. When those people want to worship them, look at verse 14. Which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, notice that Barnabas is called an apostle. Number 14. Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent, they tore, T-O-R-E, they tore their clothes and ran in among the people crying out. They're pure guys. They did the work of God. God worked, was merciful to work through them, and they were cautious to say, we are not what we have done. We are not the source of this miracle. We are not the blessing. God is the blessed one. We are not the source of power. God is the source of power. We are not the ones who need to be shined. God needs to be shined. What have we done wrong? What a humble heart for a man who holds 2 doctor's degrees in philosophy and is the top man in the Sanhedrin of the Jewish people, the Apostle Paul. Now their faith shows fear of God. Look at verse 15. Look at what they said to the people. Sir, why do ye these things? We also, and they explain, are men of like passions with you. We also were born with sin. That's what he's saying. And preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are in them. It's not that fearing God. What they did, they took their views from themselves and they point to God. No, even they said, no, guys, what is good is our doctrine. We got the doctrine of grace. We got the doctrine of the Reformation. We got the doctrine of this. No, they said, guys, you're wrong. We are nobody. You just look up to God. He is the one who is the blessed one. So here we have 3 examples of faith. It was a man like any one of us, born with a handicap. And God touched his life. So he listened to the word of God. He was invited to obey. He received the word, believe and obey. There were the people that saw that. And they said, what a great guy. They moved their object of their faith from God to humanity. And that's what happens when you are not touched by God. If your heart is not touched by God, your faith concentrates in the human rather than in the spiritual. If your heart is not changed by God first, then you never make it. So we need to pray that God and his grace change our heart. And I want to show you where your feet should stand. If you move the Bible to the Gospel of Matthew, to chapter 24, the Gospel of Matthew's, I think it's chapter 7, and verse 24. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, and verse 24. And here is a wonderful a parable which it teaches clearly where our feet should be. All right, here it is. Therefore, whosoever hear these sayings of mine, in other words, when you hear the gospel, when you hear the exhortation that you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, when you hear the exhortation that there is only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus, when you hear the exhortation that if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to spend eternity in hell, and in order to avoid eternity in hell, you need to trust the Lord Jesus who died on the cross of Calvary, who is spending eternity in hell for you, and when you believe in him and in his resurrected power, the Bible says, when you hear these things of mine, and does them, I will liken unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. You see that? You built your spiritual house upon the rock, not upon man. And who's the rock? The Bible says that that rock is Jesus. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. You know, all the kinds of doctrines will come to you, all kinds of crooks people will come to you, all kinds of things will come to you, and nothing will move a believer. I believe that with all my heart. Nobody can change your mind. Once you know Jesus, nobody can take you out of the hands of Jesus. Once you are settled with the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless, don't think in denomination. Don't think in Baptist, Pentecostals, in Catholic. Don't think in that way. Think, when you are settled on the Lord Jesus Christ, nobody in this universe can take you away. That's what the Bible says. Isn't that beautiful? We're thankful. We are thankful to God. But, look at verse 26. Everyone that hear these things of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I love to go to Monterey, Carmel area, and so on, with my little granddaughters, and build little castles on the beach. Here we are, blessed, about 45, 50 minutes. 1 hour from here is the ocean, and they have beautiful beaches, and you can take your children and build castles. And I bring some little piece of wood and piece of steel to put on so we can make 2-floor castles. And I go a little bit farther from the shore, but you know, in the afternoon, late in the afternoon, about 5 or 6 o'clock, the ocean goes in. And those beautiful castles, in seconds, are gone. So, matter of fact, I was in Mexico building castles with Jacqueline, who was very tiny. I think 3 or 4 years old. And I was in the beaches of Puerto Vallarta when, without knowing, a big wave came in and rolled over, took the castle and my granddaughter in. And I had to jump to get my granddaughter out of the way. They was rolling into the ocean. You see what I mean? You built your doctrine upon men, and that's anything that happened in your life will destroy you in pieces. You built your life upon men, and your life has no security, no standards. Your life has nothing. You build your doctrine about science, it's just like sun. You build your doctrine upon the discoveries of man and upon your greatness of your mind, they have no substance. It's gone. You need to ask God to give you grace to see Him. You need to ask God to give you mercy so that you can throw yourself in the hand of Him like this crippled man did. He was touched by God. He didn't know. He didn't know. God don't say, hey, I want to touch you today. You notice that? No man knows when God touched you. But the Apostle Paul perceived that that man was touched by God. And so he told him, here's the word of God to you. I tell you, you maybe don't know that God is looking for you. But I tell you this, repent and be saved. That's what Jesus said. Repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said, come unto me, all who are heavy laden. And what? And I will give you rest. And if God is on it, you will come to Jesus. I'm not asking you to come to the Baptist church or to the pastor. I'm just an instrument in His hand. The value is Jesus, and the rock is Jesus and His word. My beloved friend, let me ask you as I close, where is your faith sitting on? On men or in God? You know how I know? I know by your life. Because the man who was crippled, what happened? He walked. And if you walk like a Christian, talk like a Christian, and live like a Christian, then I know that God has touched your life. Oh, may God bless us. That every one of us here, that every one of the people who are listening over the skies, that everyone who is listening in this state ministry can say with us, oh, yes, Pastor, by the mercy of God, my life is found upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, it is a shame that some pastor said, oh, when you believe in Jesus, everything is okay. I tell you, it's not okay. When you believe in Jesus, the trials and the testings start. But you got the presence of God within you. That's what makes the difference. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That in these kinds of faith, the one that had the whole value is the one who was trusting in you from the very beginning. And Father, I want to commend today, I don't need to, but I want to say great things about Barnabas and Paul. That when people came around them and want to make them God, they say, you missed the point. Look to Jesus. Look to God. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us not to look at miracles and wonders. Help us not to look around us, but help us, oh God, to look to Jesus, the rock of our life. Cause, oh Father, that some people who believe not may be touched by the presence of your word and in turn become believers. Lord, you did have grace upon this man who was crippled. We pray for our children, our relatives, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors. They are crippled too spiritually. We pray that somewhere, somehow, you may touch their life. And they too may believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the source of blessing, a spiritual blessing in their life. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do with us even today. Amen. May I encourage you to take the hymn book, please, and to take the hymn books to number 359. My faith, look up to thee. 359. Will you stand, please, as we close the morning worship service at Bethel Baptist Church? 359.
And we pray that you may bless us in a very special way, that we may go home renewed by the power of your word, that we may go home with the assurance that our feet, our spiritual feet, are settled on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, and on the power of the Spirit and in the substance of thy word. Oh, Heavenly Father, how blessed was that crippled man that you touched his life, the man you caused him to believe. Lord, you are not slacking your patience of your promise. And so I pray that you may touch the life of our children, that our own children, and that they may believe when they hear the word. In the name of Jesus, we pray for your mercy and for your grace and for your power.